Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Messeri, here with Jason Shannon, talking a little bit of quarterbacks today for all of our listeners. Welcome in to special. We're in April. We are finally in April. Jason, how's it going?
Oh, man, I'm just so excited to talk about quarterbacks.
Finally.
You didn't let me do it in March. I've been waiting. We're ready.
I just like that it kind of equaled out a little bit across the board. We have a couple sleepers. We have a couple high-end guys. It's kind of move, mixing, and matching. But I think I finally feel comfortable after reading enough about them. April 3rd, 2018, first podcast on quarterbacks here at Locked On Bills. So once again, we'll be just going through pretty much quarterbacks, you know, one through, maybe even get down to one through 15 quickly. And, you know, we'll kind of revisit it maybe the week of the draft. Jason, when do you want to do part two?
I mean, either the week of the draft or if something changes in terms of where we're picking, that might be another valid time to go back to it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, as always, Locked On Bills is your premier expert for local news, breaking stories. We seem to be live all the time when stuff breaks. And as we record here in April, the biggest news could be a trade up or trade rumors or trading for a player or player trade for a pick, any of that kind of variation. So once again, we're your local experts on this stuff right here, you know, locally in Buffalo, and just bringing you this quarterback edition, you know, starting at the top, which I guess there's a tiny bit of debate, but I'd like to entertain Baker Mayfield first, Jason. I've seen a lot of buzz around the Buffalo media with him. He's going on tour to Mayfield this month, starting with Cleveland, New York Giants, New York Jets, Buffalo, Arizona, pretty much hitting all the hot spots, Denver. Let's start at the top with him. You know, number one on PFF, number four on Scouts Inc. / ESPN. What can you tell us about Mayfield? What do you like? Let's just get into him right off the bat.
Yeah, I think PFF might be one of the only publications or scout people to have him number one, but they think he's like way ahead, and in a lot of their statistics, it bears out that really the only way that you could read it is that he's the number one guy. I mean, on their stats, he has the best passer rating when blitzed or when not blitzed. He has the best passer rating from a clean pocket or a pressured pocket. I think he has the best passer rating against receivers who are covered or throwing to receivers that are covered. His adjusted completion percentage, where if you add in the passes that were dropped, get rid of, throwaways, spikes, all of that. Is over 80%, which is just absolutely insane. It's got PFF's two highest graded seasons ever. And they have only had 3 years of doing it, but the fact that he's number one and number two says a lot. He's a real deal, and he's getting knocked a little bit because of his height, his size. He's, you know, a little skinnier and shorter, but still, I would say a clean 6'1". There's guys that size are smaller, like Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. And I just think that he's a really good quarterback. And if you subscribe to the theory that you can't teach accuracy, then, you know, you're going to get a guy who already has it here. And I do think that he will make a good, a very good to maybe even great starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. And the one other point, you know, number one in, you know, deep pass adjusted completion percentage, 64.4% deep passes. That's astronomical. Once again, you mentioned him being one of the best rated players ever by PFF, and they've only been doing it 3 years, but 2017 grain of a 95.2, redshirted seniors, won some big games, did what he could to pretty much, to me, put his team into the national championship game. Just didn't work out for him, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, not much more he could do there. And yeah, I just think that he's really good. And I believe that he, for having his height too, didn't really get passes batted down. I think Lamar Jackson had, you know, of the top five or six guys, he had the most batted down, where maybe that'll be an issue, but Mayfield figured out a way around it, really.
Yeah, I mean, he had the whole complete package to me. Low turnover percentage too, you know, fifth lowest percentage of turnover worthy plays in his class. And, you know, his production's just like really hard to ignore. And I think, can you lock him in the top 10, Jason?
Yeah, I think he's going to go there, and I think he's worth he may be my top quarterback, but I think it would be crazy if he went past the top five, and I think it would be crazy to draft any quarterback other than Darnold and Rosen in front of him. And I would probably take him ahead of Darnold at this point.
Out of both of them, huh? If you were a team, if you're picking one, if you to clear that question up, you would take him number one overall?
I think you could take Josh Rosen number one. I'd have to debate between those two guys, but I think I'd have him in front of Darnold.
Okay, fair enough. And once again, you know, obviously Baker played against Georgia in the, you know, the Rose Bowl there and, you know, went 65% completion percentage, you know, two touchdowns, one interception, 287 yards in a pretty big game, but you know, did what he could there. So it was a really interesting two overtime game, 54-48. I remember watching that one and, you know, really falling in love with them at that point after a whole season's worth of games. So getting into our next guy, you know, we'll start with Sam Darnold, you know, number two on PFF's board, number one on most. I think it's fair to say I've seen a couple of lists where he's lower, like CBS has him fourth. And they have Baker Mayfield actually fifth. So that's just interesting, an interesting perspective. Darnold's, you know, ESPN and Scouts Inc.'s number one, third overall player, probably going number one, at worst two or three. Let's get into Darnold a little bit. What do you like? What do you like about Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty accurate. He's definitely got the arm to make it, you know, to get it done. He's obviously played with some talented offenses. I think he digressed a little bit. You know, he had a really, really good 2016, but started to have problems with turnovers in 2017, through 13 interceptions. Also, I remember him having quite a few bad fumbles, and a lot of people think that that might have to do with his long delivery, which I think is probably the mechanical issue problem that most people talk about when they talk about him. There's guys in the NFL with long deliveries that haven't, you know, it doesn't ruin everybody's career, but it does make it harder to make plays under pressure. But yeah, most of his numbers went down in 2017, but still was a very good quarterback. But I think people are probably hoping to see 2016 Sam Darnold. Obviously, he's got all the size stuff. He's 6'4". He looks pretty thick. He's, you know, when you watch him, he just definitely looks like a quarterback and, you know, reads the whole field, anticipates receivers. I would probably have him as the third quarterback in this draft. And, you know, I think he's very good, and I think the Browns are going to take him, and I don't think that's a crazy move at all. But I think he'll probably go at number one, and the Bills under any circumstances probably won't have the chance to take him.
Yeah, he's the one I'm most sure of being gone, if that makes any sense. Like, he's going to be gone. If it's not one, it's two. And if it's not two, it's, like, definitely three. So I think that that's the best way to put that, right, Jason? So he's had the best receiver play based on his numbers, 3.9% drop percentage, meaning he's a pretty good receiver play. So I could have aided him a little bit at times. What did you say? Like, what do you think about his weapons around him in at USC?
They always have big, tall guys who go and make plays. That low drop rate's actually pretty impressive. But I didn't realize that they had dropped that few of balls. But I think the receiver core was a little worse this year. And some of his, some important numbers definitely went down for him. He made more turnover-worthy throws than he did in 2016. Actually did a bunch of them. It was one of the lower players as far as that goes in the draft. And I think his intermediate throw completion percentage went from like second out of these guys to like 20th or something of the eligible quarterbacks. So he went down with some things. I think that was probably some receiver problems, but definitely years past, definitely in 2016, got to throw to, you know, his good share of talented receivers as they always bring them in USC.
Yeah, to me, his adjusted completion percentage versus pressure, 59.8, a little bit concerning. Adjusted completion percentage in general is average. So, I mean, he's got some average numbers working. He's got everything you look for. The tools you're looking for is really accurate on short and intermediate throws. So, I mean, he's got everything you need to run a West Coast or, you know, pretty much any type of offense that your team's going to be running. I think he fits into. I think he probably fits a little bit more in that West Coast. What do you think? What kind of offense would you put him in?
I think he's a guy that could work in both. I think he's pretty flexible, and I do think that that's part of the reason why you know, so many scouts like him and why coaches would like him in general is I'm not sure that he would have to be married to a system.
Okay, fair enough.
Like that. I think you could use a downfield system. You could use a short throw system. He's just got to get it more efficient across the board.
Agreed. But nonetheless is going to go our Locked On Bills top three. So top three for him. Interesting. Baker Mayfield, I believe, is top 10, but could be top, I guess, three as well. But I definitely don't think he goes past like five or six. So that's our early April, you know, kind of, you know, draft position. And then we're going to the next guy that everyone wants to talk about. His hottest name per se. And a lot of people think he could be number one for some reason. He's just a hot topic. So let's get into a little bit with Josh Rosen from UCLA. Most teams and fans and scouts and media seem to, you know, everyone seems to be okay with their team taking Rosen. Why is that, Jason?
He's just, I think he's the most ready of the quarterbacks in terms of what his fundamentals are. You know, he's a reasonably athletic or accurate quarterback, pretty decent athlete. One thing I really like about him is the, you know, he threw almost 70% adjusted completion percentage against pressure, which is something, you know, you draft some guys and I think about like Trent Edwards or something where you see the fundamentals, he looks good on air, and then he just gets some, you know, inside pressure from defensive tackle and he just has no idea what to do, you know, once fundamentals start to break down. But he's got the arm. If you saw his throws at the combine, throws it as far as Josh Allen almost. He can make those 60-plus yard throws. But he becomes interesting. I think some coaches probably won't love his attitude. He's a bit of a free thinker, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But people, you know, maybe people think he's a little too individualistic. His college coach, Jim Mora, doesn't seem to have like a ton of great things to say about him, which is interesting. Maybe they just butted heads. But, I think he's a really smart guy. I like that about him. And I think he's going to be driven to get better and prove some people wrong about anything that's like sort of negative that's been said about him.
Yeah. I mean,
and then last thing is just that he's got a couple concussions, and then that's something that you might want to worry about as a negative.
Yeah, the concussions are a thing. And I know that's been popping up lately and maybe making him the third or fourth quarterback behind the first two we've talked about and a few more. But for whatever reason he possesses that. And you've heard a little bit about his, you know, kind of his ability to play or want to play, I should say, his motivation or his, you know, really his determination. Do you buy into any of that stuff?
It's hard for me to say what a guy's motivation is. Yeah, I could see it. And I've heard the thing that, you know, his parents are doctors and he's had the concussions and maybe he's got interests outside of football. And I think all that stuff is fine. He seems to like playing back. His teammates all seem to like him. I know that a few scouts I listened to had talked to his offensive linemen. I think Colton Miller was one of them. They were just like, this guy's great. He's a leader. He's everything you want in a quarterback. We have no idea what any of this stuff is about. So I'm not going to worry about him any more than any other quarterback because I don't know these guys personally, and maybe he's more publicly outspoken than some other people, even though Mayfield obviously is too. But
his style of, I mean, he's a big time thrower. I mean, the style of play I've read and I've seen a couple of times now is kind of compared to like Dan Marino style. Do you buy into that?
I think he moves a little better than Dan Marino, but yeah, I mean, he gets the ball downfield. You know, versus pressure, he does a great job. His deep passing's pretty good. I like everything about him as a thrower. And if we have to just sort of, if we can put aside all of this stuff that we really don't know, like the full answer to, I think he's probably the best quarterback in this draft. I think him and Mayfield are 1-2 in some order. And even though some of his completion percentage and, you know, metrics are a little lower than Mayfield's, he's got the size that Mayfield does have with, you know, being a full 6'4 dude.
Yep, right. And getting into the next guy that's highly debated on many different areas is Josh Allen, right? So Josh Allen's coming in here at fourth ranked quarterback. What do you think about Josh Allen? I mean, I see him 2 on a lot of boards, 1 on some, a couple boards, 4 and 5 on others, 6 and 7 on some. You know, PFF has him as 6th. Josh Allen, let's get into him. So, you know, he's very highly debated, right? So I guess tell me a little bit about Josh Allen and, you know, what's this guy bring to the table?
He's tall and he has a big arm, and that's really what I can find. I think if you pick out the right throws and you do his highlight reel, he makes some great throws, but when that's only 5% of the throws you make, you know, you have to make those easy throws. He's not good at making the easy throws. His completion percentage and adjusted completion percentage are just lower than sort of the threshold you need to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Didn't play against the best competition. I mean, I think was pretty poor whenever they played like a big time team. One thing is that he's good in the red zone. That's a positive. But I hear the comparison a lot. Like, so Baker Mayfield throws a lot of screens. He throws a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage, close to the line of scrimmage. And people say, well, you know, Josh Allen threw all those passes that Baker Mayfield did, you know, his completion percentage will be higher. You know, Josh Allen's bad at those throws. He misses open throws. He misses short throws. He's not a good short thrower. He's not good versus pressure, the blitz. Even his deep adjusted completion percentage is 41.5, which is really low for the high players in this draft class. So you're not even looking at a guy who's a good deep thrower. You're looking at a guy who's good at getting the ball far. But, you know, we don't have a refined deep thrower yet. And he even missed, you know, it's just interesting to see the workouts and see the combine. And basically, if you already like Josh Allen, you love his performance in those. And if you don't like Josh Allen, you're not going to like what you saw. Because at the same time, he was throwing 70-yard bombs and then missing his receivers by 5 yards on air. So I just think that coaches think they know what to do with him, that they can turn him into, you know, he's the best piece of clay that you could possibly mold, but he's just not there yet.
Now, do you subscribe to the notion that you can edit these guys, you can make them better? I mean, it's been pretty tough to prove. I mean, he's been said to look like Kyle Bowler or Jake Locker, a player like that with a lot of potential and athleticism and big arms, neither of which really developed. Are we going to stop saying that we can develop these guys? Or are we going to finally see one of them like Josh Allen develop and be like, see, we told you? Like, which way is this thing going to go?
I don't know. It's probably somewhere in the middle, because I do think every 5 Josh Allens you get, one of them will work out. One of them will have the right characteristics to learn, or they get put in the right offense where they're able to succeed. And yeah, I mean, if you take the test cases of Kyle Bowler, who had just a miraculously low completion percentage for a starting NFL or for a first-round quarterback, or Jake Locker, who clearly, you know, had the physical tools, much like Josh Allen did, those didn't work out. So I'm not saying that definitely Josh Allen isn't going to work, because he might, but I think that the percentages of that are very low, because it's going against everything we have ever heard before. People love this huge arm, but how many plays do you throw? It's like, I just don't understand it.
That could do those throws in Tyrod Taylor, and he just didn't do it. Like, you know, he's right under Greg Roman, the ability to throw deep and have a deep weapon in Sammy Watkins, and a little bit in Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin, who all, you know, all 3 of which got really paid. So, you know, Tyrod Taylor's sitting on 3, 1, a 2, and a 3, which a legitimate 1 and a legitimate 2 and 3, and the team still didn't go. So isn't that like kind of proof that, you know, you try to turn Tyrod into a short baller and, you know, and a conservative Alex Smith? I mean, that's what you saw. But Josh Allen, you got to come up as your guy, right?
In the NFL, it's almost bared out that you can teach or develop arm strength easier than you can develop accuracy. Inaccurate guys stay inaccurate. There's very few situations in the NFL where inaccurate college quarterbacks suddenly jumped up into the NFL. Meanwhile, guys like Tom Brady didn't have the strongest arm, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Those are all guys who had average to below average arms coming into the league and ended up.
Yeah, Russell Wilson too.
All, you know, pretty well. Russell Wilson was another guy. Yeah. And, but you know,
completed percentage, I mean, his completion percentage was high.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's just like, if Josh Allen could throw the ball 160 yards, that doesn't make him any better of a quarterback. Like, there isn't, you know, there's a limit to how useful being able to throw the ball further is. Meanwhile, he's just got to get more accurate. And
where does he go? Where does he go in the Locked On Bills, Jason Shannon draft?
And in the ranking, or where does he actually go in the draft? I mean,
both. You can give me.
I mean, I'd probably have him as my fifth or sixth quarterback.
Okay.
I think he's probably going to go in the top five.
Okay. Fair enough. I believe that that's true. And anyways, he's one through four. Everyone has him differently, seriously. All scoutings, yeah. All teams, all media members, all anyone who covers this thing has those guys one through four. And some even have one or two of those guys out of the top four. So next, which pretty much fifth on, seriously, on everybody's list, it's kind of crazy. Lamar Jackson, another first-round player, mid-first-round to late first-round. I've seen some recent buzz that he could be a second or third guy in some teams' boards. Do you like him? What do you like about him? Get into Lamar a little bit as a really intriguing prospect, a really intriguing first round prospect in a year. If he didn't have a couple of these other guys, I think he's like the second quarterback.
Yeah, I could have seen him maybe being the second quarterback last year, for instance, which was a average quarterback year. Maybe third, I guess. Probably Trubisky and Watson probably go ahead of him, but there's stuff to like and there's stuff not to like. I had mentioned before the passes being swatted down, which is, you know, you might be able to fix that. Completion percentage is okay. Adjusted completion percentage is 72.2, which is going to put him behind a bunch of these guys who aren't Josh Allen. In a way, he really does have some similar problems as Josh Allen does, where he just is inaccurate on the easy throws, and that's sort of the stuff you're supposed to be able to rely on with a good quarterback. He did not have very good receivers at Louisville for a couple of those years. They dropped a lot of passes. They really ran a weird system where they weren't helping him out a lot, but I do think there's some misconceptions with him. He is good under pressure, and that includes standing in the pocket under pressure. He takes off a lot less than people think he does. A lot of his rushing was based on designed runs, which is going to probably happen less in the NFL. But the fact that he's a one read, he's covered and then tuck it guy, he really worked on that and improved. I just think he got better every year as a thrower. And I think that needs to be noted that he is improving. My biggest problem with him probably overall, again, is if he uses those legs a lot. I don't think he's going to, once he's an NFL quarterback, he's going to be too small. I think he's going to pack on some weight. But you just take so many more hits doing that. And we've just found in the NFL that unless you're a guy like Russell Wilson who gets straight out of bounds and like your only goal while running is to get out of bounds, you're going to take some hits that you're just not physically ready to take. And that's where I have a big problem with it. And that's for any quarterback that really uses the run as a weapon.
Yeah. And he's fifth on PFF's list. And like I said, pretty much every list in quarterback ranking. The one where he's number two on is actually CBS, which actually has reverse rankings of everyone else. Number one is Mason Rudolph. Number two is Lamar Jackson. Three is
what a weird list.
Josh Rosen. Four is Sam Darnold. Five, Baker Mayfield. Six, Josh Allen, which is probably the only thing that's right about that. Seven, they actually like Logan Woodside, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show. But we want you guys to check out, you know, our Locked On draft show. You know, check that out. It's really good. They get into a lot of this in a little more detail, and Jason and I will get into a little bit more. Just they're solely focused on these players as players, not team fits. So check that out, Locked On Draft. You know, really good show over there. And
they're very good. I listen every day.
Check out all the other Locked On shows. If you're trying to see what Cleveland's looking into, you know, check out what's going on over there. If you're trying to see a couple of the other teams, you know, whatever one you're interested in, we probably got you covered here on the Locked On Network. And once again, check out that Locked On Draft. But get into Lamar Jackson, you know, is the fifth guy, number two on CBS, 14th overall, which, funny enough, might be where he goes, somewhere in there in the Miami to Arizona range, the Bills, if they stay put. where does he go after all that said and done? Where do you think he goes, and should he go there?
I think he's going to go in the first round after the first. I have a tough time picking exactly like within five picks. I don't think he'll be in the first round of quarterbacks. I think he'll probably be the fifth quarterback taken.
Okay.
And I think probably starting at Arizona, going all the way down to like the Jacksonville range, okay, probably sounds good for him. I wouldn't rule out a team with a quarterback, thinking that he would be a good developmental prospect, maybe in New Orleans or a Jacksonville who's sort of set, or even New England.
Cincinnati. I think
Cincinnati is another team.
They lost McCarron, so there's definitely
maybe a little early for them, but
there's definitely, what's funny is the two quarterback systems coming back a little bit in terms of wanting a guy after Foles won the ship last year. You got teams doing the two man thing where they picked up two guys, and you know, the Jets have like 40, but other teams and are going to add another one. You know, other teams are doing the two with Glennon and Bradford, and you know, they're doing the combination. I don't think it's, you know, you lost McCarron. I don't think it's a dumb idea to check him out at Cincinnati or a team like that, which has a clear gaping hole at that, you know, number two spot. I don't think it's crazy to let a guy sit and to invest the first, especially in a late first situation, mid to late first. Cincinnati picking our pick, right? So 22 now. Yep. I don't think that's crazy.
No, I guess it's not. But I think this is definitely could make a big difference, because I think that the two guys you would call developmental that are probably going to go in the first round are Josh Allen and then Lamar Jackson.
And they're both going to go to non-developmental teams, I think.
And right. And I think Lamar Jackson's going to have a better chance to sit going later, but Josh Allen's probably going to get thrown in there, and he's going to, you know, go through a rookie season where he's going to throw a bunch of picks and complete 54% of his passes. Well, Lamar Jackson gets to kind of learn an offense, you know, get an NFL body, you know, learn how to make NFL
Jackson,
reads.
Though, he's gotten better every year. Statistically, he's gotten better every year with his PFF and advanced grades. I
think it's really encouraging.
I think it's encouraging to say, if you're a coach sitting here, 6'3", like you mentioned, has a lot, you know, can gain a little bit of weight, protect himself, and can throw the ball as well as anyone, honestly. You can run the ball as better, as good as Tyrod Taylor, but can throw better. I just don't think if you see the Bills stay put and take him at 12, yes, he, like you mentioned, is a developmental guy, but has a lot of the skill set. I just don't think you should, the first thing you should say is he's Tyrod Taylor, right?
No, I think he has some of the...
The running stuff, sure.
Well, the running stuff, and I do think that the anticipating throws, which seems to be what Bills fans say was the weak point in Tyrod Taylor, I do think that his accuracy and sort of throwing guys open is going to be stuff that he needs to work on. But I do think that he has more physical and arm talent than Tyrod did, you know, coming in.
Well, Tyrod,
and obviously, he's going to be a first-round pick. And,
you know.
Yeah. Tyrod was a day three pick, so.
Definitely. There's a reason for that. And getting into, I think he's a great debate. I mean, you could have a show on Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen alone. Right. Between the two of them, you could have 15 minutes on each of them. You know, let's get into a little bit of the later list, although he's number one on CBS. Much debated Mason Rudolph. I've seen, once again, not to Allen's extent, but I've seen people love him. I've seen people not love him. I've seen people say, well, he's definitely the best of the rest. Definitely could be starting in this league. Might beat out some of these other guys when it's all said and done. What do you like about Mason Rudolph? Let's touch on him.
Yeah, he's pretty accurate as far as adjusted completion percentage, 74.2%, which isn't bad. Sort of average against the blitz, decent against pressure. Throws the ball downfield pretty well. Not known for having the strongest of strong arms, but his average depth of the target is 12.2 yards, which is, you know, really getting the ball downfield on average. He really comes out well in all of your sort of advanced metric stats and quarterback rating stats. And for a PFF, had the number two grade in terms of a clean pocket and when pressured. So that's pretty good. That's going to translate over the NFL. I think a lot of people still see maybe a lack of consistency and a lack of sort of total talent that probably puts him out of the first round for a lot of people. But I wouldn't be shocked to see him at a late first. I think one of the big worries, too, is just Big 12 guys are sometimes so hard to sort of translate. They play 190 offensive possessions a game, lots of open receivers, lots of tired defenders. So we're going to have to see. But he already has NFL size. I think he has a decent enough NFL body and arm strength. But I just think that consistency at this point is probably going to be
two potential first round receivers too,
which helps. I think maybe on the first 2 days.
I mean, what's interesting about him is there's a lot of numbers and statistics and advanced statistics. You could talk yourself into him being a top 20 guy. And you know, he's fourth on PFF, so he's above Lamar and he's above Josh Allen. Mason is a first round quarterback to PFF. He's the first quarterback to CBS. He's fifth and sixth on most lists. He's usually linked with Lamar Jackson as the best of the rest. But I mean, this third down percentage is great. I mean, a 112 passer rating on third down. So, I mean, that's, he gets it done in some big spots. His completion percentage translates. Like Lamar Jackson, we just talked about, he gets better each year, 65% from 63, from 61. His yardage goes up. His touchdowns go up. The only thing he really digressed in was his interceptions, right?
But yeah.
9-4-9, 15-16-17.
No, nothing. It was nothing crazy. And I think that a lot of it has to do with him just, you know, actually trying to get the ball downfield, which is going to result in some more turnover worthy throws. But, you know, if you have a problem with, you know, maybe Tyrod or the Bills offense wasn't taking enough chances, I do think right. that he's a guy that gets the ball downfield and, you know, goes for it and hopes for the best. And part of that probably is the receivers that he had. James Washington, Aitman are good players and are going to be NFL players. But it does still show that he trusted them
exactly.
and got the ball downfield to them.
Yeah, and 13,000 career yards. Once again, I guess you can call it a regression, but 9-4-9, okay, got a little, it was pretty good at the ball in 16, but his yards of attempt, 10.1, that's great. You know, depth of target, he's pretty much got deep pass adjusted completion percentage is eighth, so he's got a lot of advanced and deep statistics to like, just like Josh Allen. So, all right, that's the first and second tier of quarterbacks. Do you like maybe getting a difference maker with that first pick at 12 and waiting on a guy like Jackson or Rudolph? Do you like that strategy at all, or is that kind of lost on you? Would you rather really do anything you can to get top seven, or would you, or is there some credence to taking, you know, whatever X player you like at 12, whoever, you know, that could be for you, whether it's Roquan still on the board or Tremaine Edmonds or whoever that is that you think's the best? I think inside linebacker is a huge hole. So, Tremaine Edmonds could be a really interesting candidate if he's there. You know, so could Roquan if he's there. He's taking a visit here. Any thoughts on the? Everyone's talking about the trading up, doing anything you can to get up there, to get there. Is there anything that's interesting to you at all about taking a quarterback at 12 or taking player and waiting to see what happens at 22, or is just not in a position to do that?
I'd probably want to either trade up for the quarterback. I don't think drafting the quarterback at 12 is really much of an option. I don't think I would want Jackson or Rudolph there. I would definitely want, if we're going to do it, I would want to trade up and get one of our top three quarterbacks, being Mayfield, Rosen, or Darnold. But at the same time, man, I love having all those picks, and maybe you make the picks, maybe you think about one of those guys, Jackson or Rudolph at 22. That could be a possibility.
Sounds mighty nice though, doesn't it? To keep all those picks, fill in a huge need at 12.
I would love
starting backer. And 22 being the guy, you know, that you 22 being the guy that you make your future quarterback in the Aaron Rodgers range. Like, is there anything to that with talking yourself into a Mason Rudolph at 22?
I mean, the problem is that the history you've had is, like, after, like, 15, besides Aaron Rodgers, there really isn't a lot of, you know, guys in the late first, sort of your third, fourth quarterback taken. It doesn't have a very high success rate. I do think this is an abnormally good class where it's more likely that we might be able to find that guy there. But Yeah, man, I still think we have holes on this team, and I would love to use, you know, six picks in the top three
not
rounds.
Only, you keep 12, but, you know, you're essentially keeping your two twos and your two threes, too. So you're not just
– Right, and –
You can't just say, I'm going to keep 12, and that's the only player that's going to fill your need. No, I mean, you're keeping the rest of your picks in this scenario.
Right, and I maintained that if we made a Giants trade, I didn't know about if it was a trade to four or five, what that would cost. I think a Giants trade is going to take us three first-round picks. I think it's going to take 12, 22, and next year plus something else. And that's a lot to go up there. So, you know, in my ideal dream situation, what happens is that the Browns take Darnold. We have the Giants take Barkley or Nelson or whoever, Chubb. The Jets go get Josh Allen, and then we're on the phone to Cleveland or Denver trying to get Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen. I mean, that's really the dream scenario there. It's what I'm going to be hoping for and rooting for. I don't know how entirely likely it is, but that's pretty much it for me.
Right. All right. Well,
but if all those quarterbacks are gone, I would just love to pick talented players. I mean,
right.
There's going to be some good players getting pushed down if all those quarterbacks are getting taken.
A couple guys that have now jumped up into the next second round range type of guys, you know, Kyle Laletta, you know, is that a guy you like? Is that a guy you could see going to someone like New England, New Orleans that can sit? Let's get into some of these like 7 through 12 guys real quickly. Laletta first. Anything you like about him? Anything you saw from him in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, he was probably he was one of the best quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl, definitely of the guys that people didn't really know about. Played at Richmond, so the standard of play is a little lower there. It's hard to tell. But I think he's got NFL-type stuff in terms of his arm. Completed 65% of his passes for 3,700-plus yards. Threw 12 interceptions, but that's not the worst. Apparently, he was very accurate, sort of middle-of-the-field intermediate throws, which are sometimes tough throws. It's something that Lamar Jackson struggled with in terms of, like, underneath linebackers, slot cornerbacks and such. So he's good there, and I just think that he's probably the next guy after the guys we mentioned, maybe even for me sort of in the same place as Josh Allen. But I did like what I saw at the Senior Bowl practices, and I think that completion percentage and sort of, you know, middle of the field, downfield completion percentages are both things that I think will translate to the NFL pretty well. I don't think anybody's going to expect him to start straight out of the gun. They shouldn't, but definitely as a developmental sort of here's your Garoppolo this year type of player, I think Laletta fits the bill pretty right on the nose.
Yeah, he does. A guy that the only guy that fell out of the potential first round players in the year of the quarterback. So we're saying, you know, coining it the year of the quarterback, but really the only guy that come out of was early talked about as top 15 pick, Luke Falk from Washington State. Now he's up right after this Laletta, kind of the Laletta range. Anything to hang your hat on or what do you think about him? PFF has him as 7th. Actually as the next guy after Josh Allen. So that's like a second round range for them. But anything you like about him, anything that is redeemable?
Yeah. I don't like that much. He completed a lot of his passes, but he plays in that air raid offense in Washington State for Mike Leach. And I do think that he got bumped up probably a little bit before a lot of people had tape or had seen the tape and sort of just saw his really hot start. He was slinging touchdowns, throwing for yards. But he just really isn't a very talented in terms of his arm or his mobility. Didn't play well in the Senior Bowl practices. He's small in terms of, you know, stature where he looks a little frail. I think coaches are seeing sort of your traditional, air raid, five wide receivers, slinger offense sort of dude that usually doesn't work out. Once in a while, you do get a guy like Case Keenum who has the ability to develop, but a lot of times you're getting, you know, all of those guys, your Cliff Kingsbury's and Cole Brennan's and guys like that. And I think he's much the same. But if you have to hang your hat on anything, I mean, still did complete 67% of his passes, had those good yards numbers, threw a few too many interceptions, both in 2017 and 2016. But I just think that he is
a third-round pick. I mean, he's got to be a third-round pick, right?
I think somebody could like him enough for that. Okay. I wouldn't have him up there. I probably wouldn't think about him until at least round five, day three sort of situation.
So like
I think
Peterman
he's just
range
a product of the system. Yeah, I think he's probably a better prospect than Peterman was, honestly. But I'm obviously pretty low on him. So
okay, good enough.
Mike White. I just don't think there's much there.
Mike White from Western Kentucky. Anything you liked about him? Anything, you know, eighth guy on the list, really? We'll kind of couple it together with the tier three guys now. You know, Mike White, you know, Logan Woodside, really Chase Litton, Brandon Silvers. Anything you want to say about those four kind of coming up as that maybe potential guys that a team might like?
Yeah, so White and Silvers, I'll just group together because they were at the Senior Bowl. Both had decent weeks. I think White's week was a little bit better, and I think his stats in college were a little bit better, but I think that Silvers had the better sort of arm tools, arm strength, has that minimum arm strength that the league is looking for. But Mike White had some good seasons at Western Kentucky, threw for 4,000-plus yards, 26 touchdowns last year. I don't think there's anything super incredible about his talent. I think Silvers is a little more, but I think they're both later day three guys, maybe right scheme sort of fits that a coach might see. Litton and Woodside are both interesting, and I've seen both of them rise up in the last month since people have really been watching film of these guys. They obviously weren't the first guys that people were going to look at when they were doing film, but now that they're getting down into the, you know, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th quarterbacks, they're seeing this guy, these guys, and both of them really make some good NFL throws. I would say both of them have sort of inconsistency problems in terms of where the ball was put. But I mean, Woodside, 64%, 3,882 yards, 28 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions. His stats were even better as a junior, 69% for 4,129 yards and 45 touchdowns. You know, he was really slinging it at Toledo. You got to see him a couple times against UB. And I really do think that he's probably ahead of sort of this tier. Once you get to, you know, after Luleta, I think that he's right near the top. And same goes for Chase Litton. I haven't seen a ton of him, but almost all of the draft podcasts, places that I read, all seem to really like him after watching him. 25 touchdowns with 14 interceptions for Marshall isn't the best season, but he's another guy that I think people see sort of the talent, and the highlight reel definitely looks good for him. The inconsistency is going to be a problem, but some teams think that they can sort of coach that out of someone. But when you're talking about that, I think it's much easier for me to convince myself, hey, fourth, fifth round, I'll take a chance on Chase Litton rather than guy with similar problems, Josh Allen, you know, let's use a top five pick on him. There's a huge difference between, you know, being risky later rather than earlier.
How about that then? Let's throw that final question topic for you today. Instead of going Josh Allen, what if the Bills take, you know, just pick all of their first three rounds and their team starts to, you know, really remove holes from the roster? And then you see a guy like Woodside in the fourth, or I don't know, it could be Luke Falk. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, I guess. Mike White, any whatever one you like the best. How do you feel about that? Like, what would go through your head if that was they scouted all these guys, they had them all in, and then that's the route they went? Like, what would you think about that?
I think that the Jets outdid us, because I think that was – that third pick was really the place we wanted to go. I think we want a quarterback, and I think it would be kind of an admission of failure in terms of we just weren't able to
find the
go
right
and
value.
Get the guy that we wanted to get, that we weren't able to put together the value that made sense and sort of that this year plan sort of went awry. And I'm not saying it's anything that the Bills did wrong, because really the only thing they did wrong was win too many games for this plan to go through. The thing they did wrong was make the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. So I just think that would be tough, but it would also tell me that they've convinced themselves that AJ McCarron can go and start for this team for a year. And I'm not going to say that he can't, because he played pretty decently well in the chance that he had in Cincinnati. And if we use those six picks on other positions, there's a decent chance we're going to have a pretty good team, especially considering how we drafted last year.
And then you're adding,
you know, 70, really kind of nail in the draft.
$70 million into the fold next year and upgrading that way. Now having a lot of players on rookie contracts, might it be the year to throw a quarterback into that mix with very minimal holes? Very interesting strategy that, you know, Bean is sitting there thinking, well, I could fill in all of our hole. Literally, you could. They could fill in their remaining holes with their top 96 picks. They could wiggle around and move back, essentially, even, and fill in as many holes as possible, take as many lottery picks as you can. Go 8-8 again, I guess, 9-7 again. 7-9 like years past, and then have a really completed roster and adding that huge amount of money with the ability to put a first round quarterback in next year when there might not be as much competition. But the only good thing about this, Jason, is if the Bills aren't looking to move up or can't find the value or don't feel like trading a 2019 one, which they don't feel like trading a potentially top 15 pick. Wouldn't you say I think there's something to the fact that six teams might are out of the race next year because you just don't go back to that runner on first round quarter. Is there something to that where you're not looking at usually the quarterback needy teams and the Jets are, you know, not there and the Browns aren't there and the Cardinals might not be there and the Dolphins might not be there and maybe the Patriots take Luletta. Wouldn't you say that there's something to strategy there?
Yeah, maybe, but I do think that the league always figures out a way to make quarterback needy teams, because it seems like no matter what happens, you only end up with, like, you know,
and even the Giants,
19 decent quarterbacks.
Right, but even the Giants could take one, and that would start the doomsday scenario, I would assume, would be the Giants taking the second quarterback, would put the Bills in a bad spot.
That would be tough. But, yeah, I mean, these teams could be taking quarterbacks, but at the same time, I don't know that Washington doesn't need one next year, or New Orleans doesn't need one next year, or New England, or, you know, there's plenty of situations. I mean, how many situations would you say there's zero chance they could possibly ever take a first round quarterback next year? You know, the five that take them this year, and then Green Bay, I guess. I mean, you know, there's Detroit. I don't know. You could even convince yourself into Pittsburgh next year. I just think that those holes will probably open up, and any team that, you know, finishes bad or you know, surprisingly goes 3-13, they usually have a hole at quarterback too. So, yeah, I just think
there's would be a strong amount of bad teams that are in the top 10 that the opposite would happen next year, where you're going to get a lot of position players or other defensive players, and quarterbacks might be advantageous next year, right? Isn't it supply and demand?
Yeah.
Not that Pittsburgh's not going to need a quarterback. Absolutely. New England could be there someday soon. Whatever. I mean, any of these teams, but they'll put perennial losers that are filling these top 10 teams. And we've been there and, you know, not lately, are now filling their quarterbacks are filled. Like, you got these teams out of the way. So, like, really then you're only targeting the need to trade up from 15-9 maybe. Right. But because look at it this way, still to date, only third quarterback has only gone at eighth overall. This could be a precedent that I don't think is going to be followed anytime soon.
Yeah, it's definitely a different year this year. And, you know, this is a year you kind of don't want a quarterback because the talent's getting pushed down at the other positions. You want to be on the right side of where the value is in the draft. And unfortunately, we need a quarterback, and we're going to have to overspend for it. And that's generally what teams do with quarterbacks every year. But
what if something happens where, like, a really good player gets pushed down because of five quarterbacks, like Chubb, or something just stupid, silly, goofy? Like, with that,
I mean, there's going to be a really good player at 12. I mean, because there's probably going to be four quarterbacks or so. So we could be in a situation where, you know.
Who's that for you? Who would that player be for you?
I think Roquan and Edmonds are both guys at linebacker that would be super talents at that point. The ones you'd kind of not want to hope for are probably Minka Fitzpatrick and Derwin James, just in terms of we're doing well at safety right now. We don't really need to take one that high. I don't think any of the cornerbacks at that point, I know some people really like Denzel Ward, but I don't think any of them would be crazy to have at 12. I don't think it would be so overwhelming that we would have to take them. I think that's sort of the range that people think a Ward should go, or I think a Josh Jackson should go. So I don't think that would be crazy. But like more than likely, we're going to have, you know, the first or second linebacker is going to be on the board. The number one tackle is going to be on the board. You know, the number two running back, the number one receiver. Like, there's going to be talent there at 12. And if we do stay put, I do think that we'll have a very...
All the defensive tackles, I mean, just jump out to you. Whoever it is you like, Deron Payne, Vita Vea, Taven, I don't know.
Maurice Hurst is...
Yeah, I don't know which one jumps out for people. You know, Darius Davenport at the end. Who knows which one of these guys is just, like you mentioned, the safeties. I still think those are the two that could be gone before 12, and thus even further pushing down the two linebackers. I think those are the two players that the Bills would say, Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds, that they're saying, man, if they're on the board at 12, I don't know about trading up.
Right. Yeah, if they think that's what's going to happen, you're getting a day one starter and really big impact player.
For an important position for McDermott's defense too. So,
and there's a very real possibility that it's four quarterbacks, two safeties, a Quentin Nelson, a Saquon Barkley. You know, basically after that, we're at 12, and the rest of the draft is open. You know, it's
a unique spot to crazy. Say. I don't know. I might like Mason Rudolph a little bit more than I thought I did as a Bill Scout, or I think that they'll spend just as much time on quarterback 4 through 7 as they do 1 through 3.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. And I have now sort of convinced myself that this isn't, that we're not definitely trading up. We may have a plan where either we perceived, we take a Jackson or Rudolph high, or we just wait and we roll with McCarron and we really try to build a team with 6 high draft picks.
Build a team, have the first next year, potentially have some perennial losers out of the marketplace, trading up a lot cheaper, lots of things, lots of money, lots of things could happen for 2019. 2018, you're filling your holes on rookie contracts, getting the quarterback the best position to win, which I don't know that they're in if they're trading every single draft pick to get up to 2. I don't know that they're going to be in the best position to win with really limited receivers and other, you know, position groups. So we'll see what happens here on Locked On Bills. There are so many scenarios. We'll be right at you Thursday with another, you know, more of a just kind of what's going on around the league and what's going on around the Bills with Nick Wotan from Buffalo Football Beat. We'll be on here on Thursday on some talks, bringing on some other guests with Jason and I. So, you know, lots of good stuff to come, lots of draft coverage to have over the next couple of weeks. As there's just a plethora of examples that we could go through. A lot of math problems here for me, Jason, where we could, you know, keep thinking about what it takes to get up to one of these picks. And like, I think you're right. I think they already have a trade worked out with someone 5 to 7. I don't know which one it is. And I think they say if Mayfield or whatever player it is, maybe it's even Allen, is there, we're going to make that trade. They're just not going to do it today at this point when prices are high, when a team that looks at the draft board and says, oh my God, Chubb just went at, you know, they're picking 6, picking 7, maybe the value dips a little bit for them at that point. I don't know. Maybe the team picks up the phone and calls Buffalo and says, hey, Mayfield's on the board. Jets went somewhere else. You know, Denver didn't take one. You know, we'll give you a little bit better value right now while we're on the clock, right?
Yeah. I mean, it could happen. It happens both ways. It's just about where demand is. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that everybody knows we want to move up, because if anybody wants to move down, and there's plenty of years where teams are trying to get out of those top 10 guys, they're going to us first. They know we have 2 first round picks. They know that we're willing to trade. And I do think that if somebody like the Broncos or the Colts get into a pinch, yeah, they're calling us.
They're calling us, and maybe both of them are calling us because Chubb just went, or whatever the case is, whatever the player is. Chubb just went. They're both calling us, and we're saying, you know what, Denver, Indy's on the phone saying that they just want 2 picks here, you know, 2 high picks, and that's it. And we're going to make this deal. I mean, I don't think you're going to take our guy, or whatever the case is. I think that there's some leverage gained back after a couple of those teams pick that I think the Bills could have potential things worked out. And I think that they might know where the Giants are going with the close connection there. Maybe they know already they're going Saquon Barkley. And they know that could push the rest of the draft down. They know more stuff than we do, but booming great draft edition show here on Locked On Bills. We're going to get into part two next week, Jason. We're going to get into part two of a couple position groups, as well as having those great guests. So from Locked On Bills, this action-packed Locked On Bills, I'm Kevin Misery, and that's Jason Shannon.
Thanks, guys.